Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we plunge into the heart of complex topics to give you the essential insights fast. Today, we're exploring the silent, intricate network that powers our lives, the electrical grid. It's an amazing piece of engineering, really, but with all this renewable energy coming online, you know, wind and solar, and these really fast changes in power flows, well, keeping it balanced and stable is a huge challenge for the people running it, the transmission system operators, or TSOs, like Denmark's EnergyNet.
It really is. It's getting incredibly dynamic.
And the thing is, the tools they've traditionally relied on, those SCADA systems, they just weren't built for this kind of speed, were they?
No, not at all. They update every few seconds, maybe 10 seconds sometimes.
Which means they're basically blind to the really rapid changes or those subtle little instabilities that could, you know, potentially cause big problems, cascading failures.
Exactly. They miss the crucial moments.
But there's this incredible solution emerging, something that's fundamentally changing the game. We're talking about phasor measurement units, PMUs.
Ah, yes, PMUs.
These are advanced sensors, and they offer this unprecedented real-time pulse of the grid. They help operators see what was completely invisible before.
That's right. And our mission today, really, is to unpack not just what PMUs are, but to explore the huge shift they represent for running the grid. Mm-hmm. We'll get into the surprising benefits, sure, but also some pretty critical limitations. We'll look at how they're being used from Denmark to North America, even China, and then look ahead a bit at the really exciting future they unlock. Things like digital twins, self-healing grids.
Yeah.
Sounds like science fiction, but it's coming.
Sounds fascinating. So by the end of this deep dive, you listening should have a really clear grasp of how this, well, foundational technology is helping build a much more robust and resilient energy future for all of us. Let's dive in.
Okay, let's unpack this then. What exactly is a PMU? At its heart, it's an electronic device, right? It measures the electrical waves, the voltages, the currents flowing on the grid. And then it quickly converts those wall wave measurements into something called a phasor, right? A phasor.
Right.
It's like a compact snapshot, yeah, capturing the wave size, its magnitude, and its phase angle relative to a reference.
But it's the speed and the synchronization that really make them different, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's the unique selling point. Each of these phasor measurements is time-stamped with incredibly high precision, usually using GPS signals. But increasingly, you see other very accurate time sources, atomic clocks, or something called IEEE 1588 Precision Time Protocol.
Okay, that sounds serious. Precision Time Protocol.
Yeah, it's another highly accurate way to distribute time, often over dedicated fiber optic networks. Really crucial for situations where maybe GPS isn't reliable, you know, interference or something. But the key is this perfect synchronization means measurements from different PMUs, maybe miles apart, they're perfectly aligned in time. That gives you synchrophasors.
Synchrophasors, got it. Like a perfectly synchronized heartbeat monitor across the whole grid.
Exactly.
And the speed difference is just massive compared to the old systems. PMUs take snapshots, what, dozens of times per second?
Yeah, typically 30 to 50 samples per second for, say, a 50 hertz system, like in Europe.
And compare that to SCADA updating every 10 seconds.
It's night and day.
It's like going from a flipbook animation of the grid to high-def slow-motion video. You don't miss a twitch.
That's a great analogy.
PJM Interconnection, they're a huge grid operator in the U.S., right? Their system records data 30 times a second. They literally say it paints a clearer picture of the grid at any given moment.
Mm-hmm. And to make that happen, you need a few key parts. You've got the sensors actually picking up the signals from the lines, then the PMU device itself doing the math and the time stamping, and then you need a communication link. A really fast one.
High-speed, dedicated link.
Usually, yeah. Sends all that synchronized data to a central hub, the phasor data concentrator, or PDC.
The PDC, okay.
That's the brain, basically. It aggregates data from lots of PMUs, make sure it's perfectly time-aligned, and that communication network has to be super robust, low latency, often dedicated fiber optics.
Why fiber specifically?
Because if data gets lost in transit, it's gone. There's minimal buffering because the volume and speed are just too high. Lost data is lost forever, usually.
Wow. Okay. And that time sync piece you mentioned, via GPS mostly, you said it could be a vulnerability.
What was a bigger concern? Relying solely on GPS means you're vulnerable if the signal gets lost or jammed or even spoofed.
Right.
Which is exactly why newer systems have backups. Those atomic clocks we mentioned, or fiber-based time distribution like PTP, makes them much more resilient.
Good to know. So they've thought about that single point of failure.
Definitely. But ultimately, you deploy enough of these PMUs across the grid, And the TSO can basically take the pulse of the entire system all at once in perfect sync, something totally impossible before this tech came along.
Okay, so we get what they are and how they work, capturing that synchronized pulse. But now, let's shift gears. Let's talk about the impact, the really transformative stuff they enable. How are they actually changing grid operations?
Right. This is where it gets really interesting. Let's start with wide area situational awareness. WAMS, you often hear it called. Because all that PMU data is synchronized, operators get genuine real-time visibility across huge areas. Instantly.
And not just better data, but like a whole new kind of view.
Exactly. Think of it like going from, I don't know, trying to guess the grid's health from a few lagging thermometers to getting a real-time MRI scan of the whole thing.
Okay, that's a powerful image.
And that high accuracy means they can track really subtle things, like tiny differences in phase angles between areas.
And those angle differences tell you what?
They're crucial indicators of stress on the power lines, how hard the system is working to push power across. So you can spot conditions like line overloads or potential voltage collapse or angular instability way earlier.
Angular instability, that's when different parts of the grid start swinging out of sync.
Precisely. Wobbling against each other. It's a major red flag before a potential breakdown. PGM explicitly says this helps them detect and prevent potential problems. Yeah. And in Europe, WAMS, based on PMUs, they say it opens new opportunities in data processing and increased system insight. It reveals stuff SCADA just wouldn't see.
So, okay, better visibility. How does that translate when things actually happen, like a fault or a line trips? Can operators react faster, or is it more about analysis afterwards?
It's really both, which is the beauty of it. PMUs are fast enough to capture those transient events, faults, line trips, generators suddenly growing offline as they're actually unfolding. This lets operators pinpoint the problem's source and, you know, figure out how bad it is right away.
And after the fact.
After a big outage. That high-res PMU data, it's like a digital black box from an airplane.
Yeah.
Invaluable for post-event analysis. They used it heavily after the huge 2003 blackout in the U.S. and Canada to piece together exactly what happened, second by second. Helps prevent it happening again.
Right, learning from failures. And this data also feeds into something called enhanced state estimation. What exactly is that, and how are PMUs changing it?
Good question. State estimation is this really crucial process where the control center calculates the grid's complete state, basically. Every voltage and every phase angle across the entire system. Traditionally, this was mostly inferred, calculated from less direct, slower measurements.
Kind of like an educated guess.
A very sophisticated, educated guess, yeah.
Right.
But PMUs, they directly observe the grid state, the voltages and angles with high accuracy. So they improve that state estimate dramatically. Energinet in Denmark explicitly confirms that PMUs can increase knowledge of the system state. Operators can truly see the state in real time, not just infer it. It's a huge leap in certainty.
Makes sense. And what about this power swings you mentioned? You said PMUs help with oscillation detection and stability monitoring. What are these swings, and why is a mode meter useful?
Okay, imagine the grid is like a giant interconnected trampoline. If a big weight, like a factory load, suddenly drops off or a generator trips, the whole trampoline can start to bounce or oscillate.
Okay.
Those are the power swings. If those bounces get too big or different parts bounce out of sync, the whole thing can just fall apart.
So the mode meter.
It's basically a real-time monitor using PMU data that tells you exactly how that trampoline is bouncing. Are the oscillations growing? Are they getting close to a dangerous point? It alerts operators before things get critical.
Ah, an early warning system for grid wobbles.
Exactly. And for places like the Nordic countries, with really long transmission lines, they often see these inter-area oscillations. So this capability is incredibly valuable for them.
So it's not just monitoring anymore. Synchrophasers can feed into improved control and grid optimization. We're moving towards a grid that can actually react based on this data.
We absolutely are. Think about wide area control systems. They could use PMU data to trigger adaptive load shedding, you know, strategically dropping small amounts of customer load to prevent a bigger collapse, or even intentionally splitting the grid into stable islands.
Automatically.
Potentially, yes. There was an Australian study that found PMU-based monitoring could detect instability and trigger a reaction in 200 milliseconds or less.
Wow, that's incredibly fast.
Way too fast for human operators to react conventionally. This enables automatic, instantaneous responses that can stop a small problem from cascading into a huge blackout.
And that sounds like the beginning of a self-healing grid.
It's a definite cornerstone for it, yes. A system that can sense its own problems and start taking corrective action.
And with grids adding more and more wind and solar connected through inverters, why are PMUs so crucial for that integration of renewables and inverters?
That's a really critical point. Traditional grids relied heavily on the physical inertia of big spinning generators and power plants to ride through disturbances. It's like a built-in shock absorber. Wind and solar, especially when connected through electronic inverters, don't have that same physical inertia. They behave differently.
So the grid loses its shock absorbers.
In a way, yes. Or at least they change. PMUs help operators monitor how these inverter-based resources are performing, detect any issues, and verify they're meeting the technical rules, the grid codes, for being connected. This ensures stability as the grid becomes more dominated by electronics, where those old assumptions about inertia just don't hold up anymore. PMUs give operators the visibility needed to manage that transition safely.
Got it. And finally, you mentioned model validation and planning support. How do PMUs help with planning for the future grid?
They provide real-world data to check and improve the computer simulation models engineers use to plan grid upgrades. It's like an as-built verification.
Making sure the map matches the territory.
Exactly. PJM calls this a key and novel application, ensuring their planning models accurately reflect reality. It gives planners much more confidence when they test different scenarios, like adding a huge new wind farm. Plus, it helps with monitoring the health of equipment and ensuring everything is compliant.
So summing up these benefits, it's really about improved reliability, better efficiency, and just vastly improved insight for the operators.
Definitely.
And the scale of adoption is already significant. You said over 2,500 PMUs across North America now.
That's right, and growing. And 15 European TSOs reporting wide area monitoring system implementations.
It really sounds like PMUs are becoming, as someone put it, one of the most important measuring devices in the future of power systems.
I think that's fair to say.
But okay, it sounds amazing, but no technology is perfect. There must be hurdles, challenges. It can't be just plug and play, right?
Oh, absolutely not. There are significant challenges. First off, the sheer communication infrastructure and data volume. PMUs generate a massive amount of data. Remember, 30, 50, maybe even 100 measurements every single second from potentially hundreds of locations across the grid.
It does a lot of data.
It's huge. It demands high bandwidth, low latency networks, dedicated ones usually. And like we said, if data gets lost, it's typically gone. Robust communication is absolutely critical. And then where do you store all this? Archiving these unprecedented quantities of data requires serious big data storage solutions. It's like trying to drink from a fire hose.
Okay, the data deluge. What else? It's not just the tech, right? There's the human side, integration into operations and human factors.
Exactly. A lot of grid operators started with pilot projects, which is smart. But actually getting PMU data and tools integrated into the day-to-day workflow in the control room, that's been slower.
Why is that?
Well, operators are deeply familiar with their existing SCADA systems. They trust them. Introducing a whole new stream of high-speed data, new visualizations, new alarms. It can be overwhelming.
Information overload.
Potentially, yes. It needs really good training, intuitive display tools, and honestly, significant change management within the organization to build trust and confidence in the new system. It's a cultural shift, too.
Makes sense. What about the data itself? Data quality and calibration?
Another big one. PMUs are precise, but they're not infallible. Errors can happen, calibration can drift. Standards exist, sure, like IEC 37.11N.1, but as research notes, measurement errors and outlier data do occur.
Especially during weird events like faults.
Right. When the grid is behaving very abnormally, sometimes the algorithms can struggle. And again, that accurate time synchronization is absolutely vital for data quality. Even tiny timing errors between PMUs can mess up the whole wide area picture. Research often highlights data quality and communication as the main hurdles for actually using synchrophaser data effectively.
And we touched on this before, but the reliance on GPS and cybersecurity, still a concern.
It is. While backups are improving, many PMUs still rely heavily on GPS for timing. That makes them potentially vulnerable to signal loss, jamming, or spoofing. It's flagged as a single point of failure risk for wide area systems.
And cyber attacks.
Yes. Like any network digital system, PMUs and the networks connecting them introduce new cybersecurity risks. Could someone try to hack in and inject bogus data? Or disrupt the flow of information? Robust security measures are absolutely essential.
Okay, what about speed? You said they're fast, but is there still latency� in applications limitation?
There is. PMU data is fast, much faster than SCADA. but it's not instantaneous. There's always some delay measuring processing, transmitting, concentrating.
Just milliseconds.
Yeah, milliseconds to perhaps fractions of a second, depending on the system. That's perfectly fine for monitoring and situational awareness, even for analysis. But for really fast, direct, closed-loop control applications where the system automatically reacts based on PMU data, that latency can sometimes be a challenge.
So most operators are using them for watching, not directly controlling things yet.
Mostly for monitoring and analysis today, yes, though there's a ton of R&D happening to push towards more direct control applications.
And finally, just getting them out there, coverage and cost.
Right. To get the full benefit, especially for wide area applications, you need a good number of PMUs spread strategically across the grid. But figuring out the optimal places to put them is complex.
And they're not cheap, I assume.
They cost money, yes. Mm-hmm. Installation, communication links, the central systems, it adds up. Now, costs are coming down, and like we'll discuss later, PMU capability is getting built into other devices, like protection relays.
Ah, so you get it bundled.
Sometimes, yeah. Utilities upgrading relays might get PMU functionality almost for free, which helps deployment. But still, budget limitations often mean deployment happens incrementally, piece by piece.
And if the coverage is too sparse?
Then the effectiveness of those cool, wide-area applications like oscillation detection or state estimation can be limited. You need enough data points to see the whole picture.
So quite a few hurdles to leap.
Definitely. But they're not insurmountable. Key SOs like Energinet are actively working on these things, often through international R&D collaborations, like that Nordic NUEFS project.
Mm-hmm.
They're scaling up infrastructure, learning as they go. It's an ongoing process.
Okay, so bearing those benefits and challenges in mind, let's look at how PMUs are actually being used today. Let's zoom back in on Denmark's Energinet first. What's their story?
Right, Denmark. It's a really interesting grid context, as we said, highly interconnected with neighbors like Germany, Sweden, Norway, and a huge amount of wind power, world leading, really.
Which makes their grid very dynamic, complex to manage.
Extremely. So Energinet started with research projects actually over a decade ago now, just exploring the potential. Then they set up a basic PMU data collection system, mainly for offline study and analysis.
And now?
Now it's moving into the core strategy. Their official strategic documents explicitly call for system condition monitoring with PMU OMS. It's seen as essential for handling their goal of maybe 70% renewables, including massive offshore wind farms.
And they're working with their neighbors. You mentioned NUEPS.
Yes, that Nordic cooperation is key. They're collaborating with Sweden, Norway, Finland to share PMU data across the whole synchronous Nordic grid. Because, again, grid stability issues, those oscillations, they don't stop at the border. You need that wide area view.
Makes sense. So broadening out to those Nordic and European neighbors, who else is active? You mentioned Sweden's Svenska Kraftnät and Norway's Statnet, leaders in this area.
They've definitely been pioneers, partly because their grids have those long transmission lines, which are naturally more prone to oscillation issues.
Yeah.
So they saw the value of WAMS early on. The Strong Grid project was a big Nordic R&D effort in this space, too.
And across Europe more broadly.
Interest really picked up after some major grid disturbances, especially the big European blackout in 2006. People realized they needed better visibility. Now you have at least 15 TSOs reporting active WAMS implementation.
Any example?
Sure. Swissgrid in Switzerland, Terna in Italy, RTE in France, National Grid ESO in Great Britain. They have a project called Visor. These are all major players investing in and deploying PMU technology. And crucially, there's a growing focus on cross-border data sharing initiatives.
Because the grid is one interconnected machine, essentially.
Exactly. Especially in continental Europe.
Okay, let's take a global perspective. What about North America?
North America has really been at the forefront, particularly spurred by that 2003 blackout. As we said, over 2,500 PMUs are installed now across the bulk power system there.
And it's becoming standard practice?
Increasingly, yes. PJM, that big operator in the eastern U.S., actually requires new generators over 100 megawatts to install a PMU as part of their connection agreement. That shows how fundamental it's becoming.
And are there concrete examples of PMUs making a difference there?
Oh, yeah, plenty. WECC, the grid coordinator for the Western U.S., has documented cases where PMU data helped them detect developing instabilities and take action to prevent potential blackouts. ERCOT, in Texas, has used PMU data to significantly improve the accuracy of their grid simulation models. Southern California Edison apparently saved money by deferring an expensive equipment upgrade because PMU data showed their existing system was actually more robust than their models had predicted.
Wow, so direct operational and financial benefits.
Absolutely. And we have to mention China. They've undertaken a massive deployment, thousands and thousands of PMUs, and they're not just monitoring, they're using them for real-time damping control and even some closed-loop control systems. The scale there is just incredible.
Okay, so looking at all this experience, Denmark, Europe, North America, China, what are the common lessons learned that keep popping up?
You see some clear themes. One, the critical importance of operator training and really good intuitive visualization tools. You can have the best data in the world, but if operators can't easily understand and trust it, it's useless.
Right. Human factors again.
Two, phased deployment seems to work best. Start small, maybe in a critical area, demonstrate value, learn, and then scale up. Don't try to boil the ocean immediately.
Makes sense.
Three, you absolutely need robust data management systems from the get-go. Plan for that data fire hose.
Okay.
Four, having clear, specific use cases drives success. Knowing exactly what problem you're trying to solve with PMUs helps focus the effort and demonstrate value.
And finally,
a power of collaboration.
Yes.
Especially for these wide area phenomena. Sharing data and insights between neighboring grid operators is often essential.
So it sounds like Energinet's approach in Denmark, working with Nordic neighbors, focusing on renewables integration, it really fits these lessons learned.
It does seem to align well, yes. And it strongly suggests PMUs are going to be a fundamental building block for their whole digital grid strategy moving forward.
Okay, so these deployments are impressive, but you hinted the story's not over. We're just scratching the surface potentially. Let's look ahead. What's next? What does the future of PMUs look like? This is where it gets really intelligent, right?
Exactly. The technology itself is evolving rapidly. We're seeing new PMU models coming out with significantly higher reporting rates.
Faster than 50 samples per second?
Oh, yeah. Some state-of-the-art units, like one called the ELSPEC G5 PMU, can transmit up to 200 frames per second.
200? Wow.
Yeah. At that speed, the line between traditional phaser measurement and much faster transient recording starts to blur. You can capture really short duration events in much more detail.
And some are going beyond just phasers. You mentioned continuous waveform recording and power quality. They can record the actual shape of the electrical wave.
Yes, at incredibly high fidelity. Thousands of samples per cycle. One example mentioned capturing 124 samples per cycle.
What did that let you see?
It allows analysis way up into high frequencies, up to the 511th harmonic in that example.
The 511th harmonic, what does that even mean in practical terms?
Well, the ideal power grid has a perfectly smooth 50 or 60 hertz sine wave, but modern electronics, industrial loads, even things like EV chargers can introduce tiny distortions, ripples on that wave called harmonics. Being able to see way up to the 511th harmonic means you could diagnose incredibly subtle power quality problems, tiny distortions that could potentially interfere with sensitive equipment but were totally invisible before. It gives operators broadband visibility into the electrical environment, integrating power quality monitoring right into the WAMS platform.
So much deeper diagnostics. That's a big leap.
It is. Another huge trend is multifunctional devices. This is really changing the economics.
Also,
PMU capability is now being embedded directly into other essential grid devices, particularly digital protection relays and disturbance fault recorders.
Stuff utilities are buying anyway.
Exactly. Utilities are constantly upgrading their protection systems, so when they buy a new relay, it might just come with PMU functionality built in.
So they get the PMU data almost for free.
Essentially, yes, as part of a necessary upgrade. This drastically lowers the cost barrier for getting PMU coverage and helps ensure it becomes much more widespread across the grid. The insight here is that pervasive PMU deployment isn't just an ambition anymore. It's becoming an almost inevitable consequence of routine modernization.
That is a game changer for coverage. And you also mentioned micro PMUs.
Right. These are smaller, often lower cost PMUs designed specifically for the distribution network, the lower voltage lines closer to homes and businesses. They can detect the even tinier phase angle differences that occur on those circuits.
Extending that high res visibility down to the local level.
Precisely. Bringing that granularity closer to the edge of the grid.
And timing. Is that getting better too? Improved timing and resilience?
Yes, definitely. As we discussed, relying solely on GPS had risks. So new PMUs are designed to be more robust. They might use multiple satellite systems, like Europe's Galileo alongside GPS, providing redundancy. Or they use that precision time protocol over fiber networks we talked about. Plus, they have better internal clocks, holdover oscillators, that can maintain accurate time for a period even if all external signals are lost. It's all about making that critical time sync more bulletproof.
Okay. And what about processing all this data? You mentioned edge computing and local analytics.
Yeah, this is a really interesting area. instead of just blindly sending every single data point back to the control center.
Which is that data fire hose problem.
Right. The idea is to put more intelligence in the PMU device itself, out at the edge of the network. The PMU could locally run algorithms to analyze its own measurements.
To do what?
Detect specific problems, maybe incipient instability or equipment stress, and just send an alert back rather than the raw data stream.
Or
potentially even trigger a local predefined control action directly.
Cutting out the middleman, reducing communication load.
Exactly. Reducing latency and dependency on the central system for certain types of fast, localized responses. The U.S. Department of Energy has projects exploring, using AI and machine learning, right on the PMU data stream for faster insights.
Okay, edge intelligence. This all seems to be building towards some really advanced applications. You mentioned digital twins.
Yes. This is a huge area of focus now. A digital twin is essentially a highly detailed, real-time digital replica of the physical power grid.
A simulation that perfectly mirrors the real thing.
That's the goal. And PMUs are the ideal data source to constantly feed and calibrate this digital twin, making sure it accurately reflects the grid's actual state, moment by moment.
And EnergyNet is looking at this.
They are actively pursuing a digital twin strategy. The huge benefit. It allows operators to run what-if scenarios on the twin. What happens if this line trips? What if that generator goes offline?
They can test things out safely.
Yes, and even more powerfully. They can use it to predict problems minutes or even further ahead, see potential overload developing. The twin could flag it, allowing for predictive control actions before it becomes critical. It's like having a data-driven crystal ball for the grid.
That predictive power, combined with the fast PMU data, that enables true dynamic balancing and wide area control, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. We're talking about actively managing generation, load, and power flows across the entire grid in near real time based on what the PMUs are seeing.
Like what kind of actions?
Much faster, more precise frequency control using those wide area angle measurements. Or actively modulating things like HVDC links, those big power superhighways, or other power electronic devices called FCTS controllers, specifically to damp out oscillations based on PMU observed angle differences.
You mentioned Hydro-Québec does something like this.
Yes, they famously use their HVDC links, informed by stability monitoring systems that rely on synchrophasor-like data to help damp out oscillations across their vast network. This is how you move towards a truly self-balancing grid, one that can continuously automatically adjust itself to maintain stability.
Which leads, finally, to the ultimate vision, the self-healing grid. Using wide area protection and restoration, how do PMUs make that real?
PMUs are fundamental to it. First, by pinpointing the location and nature of faults much faster and more accurately. Second, by quickly detecting if a major disturbance has caused the grid to break apart into separate islands.
Okay.
Then wide area protection schemes, or WATS, these are automated systems that use PMU data from across the region, can make intelligent decisions. They might trigger controlled islanding to isolate the fault and save the rest of the grid, or initiate highly targeted adaptive load shedding only where needed.
That Australian study's 0.2-second reaction time comes to mind again.
Exactly. That kind of speed enables automated actions to prevent cascading failures. And then, after the blackout, PMUs play a crucial role in restoration. They help operators understand the state of the different islands and guide the process of safely and stably reconnecting them.
So PMUs are the eyes, the ears, and increasingly the automated hands of the grid.
That's a great way to put it. We are definitely transitioning from an era of monitoring to an era of active control. PMUs aren't just providing visibility anymore. They're being linked to systems that can instantly tweak the grid. The end goal is a power system that's adaptive, automated, and robust. One that can truly handle the challenges of intermittent renewables, electric vehicles, and just increasing complexity overall.
So wrapping up our deep dive today, it's really clear that phasor measurement units, PMUs, are a genuinely foundational technology for the energy future. They offer this unprecedented window into the real-time state of the grid. That enhances reliability, sure, but it also enables these truly advanced operational strategies we've been talking about.
Absolutely. We've explored the incredible benefits that wide area awareness, the precise event analysis helping validate models, so many things. But we've also looked realistically at the challenges, the data volumes, the integration hurdles, the security aspects. They're significant, But as we've seen, they're being actively addressed.
And the technology itself isn't standing still. Those advancements, like higher sampling rates, multifunctional devices, they're pushing the boundaries even further.
Mm.
And those future applications, digital twins, dynamic balancing, self-healing grids, they aren't just pie-in-the-sky ideas anymore, are they?
No, not at all. They're being actively researched, piloted, developed right now,
right,
with TSOs like EnergyNet really pushing forward, especially in places facing the energy transition head-on.
So for you, the listener, understanding PMUs really means seeing how critical this, well, maybe once humble sensor has become. It's fundamental to building that smarter, more resilient grid we all need for tomorrow.
Mm. And as grids like Denmark's integrate just massive amounts of offshore wind and become even more interconnected across mm-hmm. borders, the need for this PMU-driven monitoring and increasingly control mm. is only going to grow. It becomes essential.
The investments happening now, deploying these PMUs, building the systems around them, it's really laying the groundwork for a power system that can not only cope with the huge challenges of the energy transition, but actually adapt and thrive within it.
And here's maybe a final thought to leave you with. Consider this. In the not-so-distant future, maybe when PMU coverage gets close to 100% of the high-voltage grid, could the role of the human grid operator actually shift? Maybe towards managing almost entirely by exception.
Meaning
AI systems constantly sift through that ocean of PMU data, automatically handling the routine adjustments and only flagging the truly important anomalies or complex situations for human attention. Or maybe even directly initiating pre-approved control actions for common issues. The grid's control itself literally getting smarter over time, learning from the data.
Wow. Managing by exception, powered by AI and PMUs, that is definitely something to mull over. We hope you've enjoyed taking this deep dive with us into the world of phasor measurement units.